Good evening and welcome to another episode of Agar Healing. Today the main practice that we are focusing on is being the observer. So you've been watching the chats in the group and you've seen how I have been the observer. So there are a few people who are just asking questions but not participating in the meditation. So there's nothing to do, there's nothing to get affected by their asking questions. That is being the observer. So anyway, so there are different situations, scenarios where there is no point in acting or in responding to people or reacting to situations. You just have to be the observer. These are situations where people are acting out of their anger, their frustrations, their irritations, which means that people are reacting to something in their head, wanting to pour it out to you. And in such cases, you are not to be the recipient of whatever is happening. You just have to be the observer. It's very simple, but it's not easy. That's because it takes practice to be the observer. You just have to practice observing people and their behavior and not exactly get affected by what they say and how they say what they say. All right, so you have to be the observer. So let us today practice being the observer. So as always, we start with the Maypole meditation. So this is just a meditation. For those of you who are new, let me explain to you what this practice is. The unconscious memory has got certain perceptions which are very strongly embedded. For example, we are all told that God is above all of us, right? God is above all of us. So the unconscious memory cannot understand the context and the positioning of the statement. The positioning of the statement is that God is beyond everything. But to the unconscious memory, God is above all of us. It's a physical displacement, which means that physically he is above all of us. Which is why you see when Sachin Tendulkar hits 100, he looks at the sky, he looks up. And when we point to God, we point our finger upward, saying that he will take care. So our unconscious memory has stored God as physically at an elevated plane. So which is why we connect to God, use this belief that he is in a higher physical level. We connect to him from above there. All right, and which is why we use a pole and we imagine that there is God on top of the pole. So you can imagine Dhvajastambha of the temple, or you can imagine any tall pole, and you can imagine God in any name and form that you want. You can imagine God as the sun, you can imagine it as just a cloud, or you can imagine as a ball of light, or you can imagine any name and form that you worship. So God does not have any particular name and form. God transcends all names and all forms. Apparently, God is nameless and formless. So I'm using not as gender, but as the unmanifest. So the unmanifest assumes the name and form that you attribute to it. All right, so we connect to this unmanifest, and that is what the Maypole meditation is all about. All right, so let us start with the Maypole meditation now. So you have to sit. If you're sitting on a chair, please do not use the backrest. If you're sitting down, make sure you're not using a back support. Do not lean against the wall. So make sure that you're sitting at slightly elevated position so that your back is straight. All right, you can put a cushion underneath your sit bones so your back straightens up. And you can do this practice with your eyes open or closed, but when your eyes are closed, you have one sensory organ less to distract you. All right, so I wouldn't recommend people to sit on the couch, on a sofa. That's because your back cannot be straight. So please sit on a dining chair, or if you cannot sit down, or maybe a foldable chair or so. Okay, so now sit straight, and those people sitting on a chair, please do not cross your legs, uncross your legs so that the energy can flow through. It can take away all the toxins, the energy toxins from your body. Everything is ultimately energy. So now think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are sitting in the center of a golden circle of light. This is your inner space, which protects you from interference from other energies. So imagine you are sitting in this golden circle of light. The circle is on the ground. In the center of the circle, imagine a neon blue ring again. This neon blue ring is again protecting you. This prevents interference from other energies. This is how the unconscious memory is wired, and that is why these colors are being suggested. In front of you, think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you have a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. You can imagine any name and form that you wish, that you believe in. It could be a name and form of a deity or a guru or anything that you have faith in. Imagine that name and form on top of the pole, or you can imagine the sun or a ball of light or simply consciousness. In your inner scene, walk up to this pole and hold on to any ribbon that appeals to you. And walk back to your seat connected by this ribbon as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its relaxing energy. As you breathe in, think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you are receiving this relaxing energy. As you breathe out, let go of any restlessness, any anxiety, any clutter, any anger, and everything that prevents you from receiving this energy. Again, breathe in and relaxing energy. Breathe out and let go of any anxiety, restlessness, clutter, anything, any worries. Again, breathe in this relaxing energy and breathe out the worries, anxieties, restlessness, clutter in the mind. Continue to breathe in this relaxing energy. And as you breathe out, let go of all worries, anxieties, restlessness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy. Again, think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you're breathing in this healing energy. If you know a particular part of your body that needs healing, direct the healing to that part of your body and let it do the rest of it. Leave the healing to the higher consciousness. As you breathe out, let go of any blame, disappointment, anger, any pain, resentment, anything that you are carrying against others, any toxic thoughts, release all of them. Again, breathe in this healing energy, direct it to any part of your body that needs healing, As you breathe out, let go of any anger, blame, any disappointment, any pain, any distress that you may carry, any unhappiness. Breathe in this healing energy again. Breathe out and let go of any distress, anger, resentment, blame, disappointment, any pain. Now ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe in this cleansing and purifying energies. As you breathe out, let go of all negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative memories, negative experiences. Again, breathe in this cleansing and purifying energy. Breathe out all negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative emotions, negative memories, negative experiences. Again, breathe in this cleansing and purifying energy and breathe out all negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative emotions, negative experiences, negative memories. And now ask your higher consciousness to send to you its strengthening energy. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any tiredness, fatigue, or even a sense of weakness that you may carry in any part of you. Again, breathe in the strengthening energy. As you breathe out, let go of any fatigue, tiredness, or weakness. Again, breathe in the strengthening energy. Breathe out any tiredness, fatigue, or even a sense of weakness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in this unconditional love. Think, imagine, visualize, or feel that you're breathing in this unconditional love and breathe out everything that prevents you from receiving this precious gift. Let go of any guilt, low self-worth, low self-esteem, or anything else that prevents you from receiving this unconditional love. This is the most valuable thing, priceless thing that you can ever get. Breathe in this unconditional love from your higher consciousness. As you breathe out, let go of any guilt, any low self-worth, low self-esteem. Breathe in this unconditional love. God loves all of us unconditionally. He does not judge any one of us. For we have never committed a mistake. We have always been either conscious, willful, deliberate, or we are absolute careless. We are childish. And so He does not judge us. He knows we are ignorant. Breathe in this unconditional love and breathe out everything that prevents you from receiving this precious gift. To make this more powerful, imagine a flower in the center of your chest. Observe whether this flower is a bud, whether it has blossomed, or whether it has wilted. Either ways, order this flower to come into full bloom. Allow it to blossom. Ask your higher consciousness to send its unconditional love. Breathe in through this flower. Let it fill your heart. Let it fill your entire being. As you breathe out, tell yourself, I share this love with all of creation. As you breathe in, draw this love. As you breathe out, share this love with all of creation. As you breathe in, just suck this love into your entire being. As you breathe out, let go of everything that prevents you from receiving this love. Imagine how you would suck Jews in a Jews drinking competition, sucking from a straw, suck this love, all of it. Ask the higher consciousness to send you its unconditional love. Suck all of it from the straw of the heart. As you breathe out, share this love with all of creation. This love amplifies whenever it is shared. So think, imagine, visualize or feel all those people whom you know, such as your friends, relatives, acquaintances, your family members. But also think of those people whom you do not like and those people whom you believe don't like you. Imagine all of these people standing. Bring your hands together in Namaskara Mudra. This is going to be your energy hose, your hands. Now ask your higher consciousness to send its loving energies through your two hands. And just pray this loving energy to all of them, on all of them. It just takes a fleeting second for all of them to be bathed in this love. Bathe all of these people with God's love. Don't send them your love, send them God's love. And leave the healing to the higher consciousness. Now ask your higher consciousness to send its love again. And this time think of all those people who are in groups such as asylums, prisons, destitute homes, orphanages, elder care centers, wherever there are people who are assembled in large numbers, desperate for God's love. Think of all of them and spray this love on all of them. Imagine this energy hose that are your two hands. Ask God to send its loving and healing energies. Breathe it in, suck all of it, and as you breathe out, spray it on all these people. Imagine this energy raining on all of them. As you breathe, again ask God to send its loving and healing energies, and this time focus on all those leaders in our country, in the world, who need a lot of healing and who need that divine love to function, to improve, to become better in what they are doing. And now ask your higher consciousness to send its love and spray it in all of these people. Do not judge any of them, just pray on all of them. God knows how to transform them. We are nobody to judge and transform others. All we have to do is to use the opportunity that we have to spray God's love on all of them, and the rest God will take care. And now you need to send this love to yourself. So if you will, put your arms around yourself as if giving yourself a hug, and first say silently but really meaning it, I love me. And now say it aloud, I love me. Once more, I love me. One more time, I love me. Come back to conscious awareness. Just rub your hands on your legs, on your feet, on your body, on your face and your neck, and come back to conscious awareness. Open your eyes when you're ready. Excellent. How many of you felt happy? How many? There might be some of you who don't want to open your eyes. It's absolutely fine. But the ones who really felt happy, just show of hands. Thank you. Very good, very good. Very good. I want to share an experience with you, which I've shared in the group before, but I want to share an experience with you. This is to be the observer. Okay? Now I'm a person, I belong to a sect. I belong to a sect of the Brahmin community. We belong to the Iyer community, okay? We are the people who wear the vibhuti. Now, my wife comes from the Madhva community. They wear the Madhva community, they wear the Gopi Chandana, all right, the Shankh Chakra. Now, we were in Mantralaya, and the chief pontiff had called us to do his Nadi Pariksha, so we were in Mantralaya. I was waiting, and the previous day, I had done Nadi Pariksha to all the priests, so they all had become very close to me. So the next day when I was meditating at about 7:30 in the morning, they asked me to come and sit close to the to Raghavendra Swami's Vrindavana and to meditate there. So I was sitting and meditating there, and I was bathed in love. Now ideally, now there is a custom in the Madhva community which is called as Mudra Dharana, which means that they have, it is primarily not only a religious practice but also a scientific practice to get immunity against the cold. And so during the cold season they do the Mudra Dharana, and my wife would never ask for it because I had never consented it. I was against the practice primarily because of ignorance, but this time I was bathed in love, and my wife, knowing very well that I would not agree to it, she asked me, can I get the Mudra Dharana done? I was so beautifully engrossed in love and I said yes. And then I not only said yes, I went with her. And as she got the Mudra Dharana done, I was watching it with so much of joy. And I felt so happy that she was getting it done. She was looking at the corner of her eye and thinking, what? My husband is allowing me to get this Mudra Dharana done. So, or is he going to give me some biscuits later on? So after the whole experience, she came and told me, I got the Mudra Dharana done and you didn't say anything. In fact, I was observing you. And that day I learned one lesson, that when you are in love, everything is okay. When you are in love, you are just being the observer. When you are in love, there are no judgments. There are no complaints. There is no hurt. There is nothing but just love. Everything just merges in love. That is the beauty of love. To be an observer is to be in love. This practice of being in love is the most essential practice that all of us need every single day, because we judge so much. And believe me, when we judge, we become victims of our own judgment. Our suffering is caused by ourselves. There is no other person who is responsible for our suffering. Whenever people say things or do things, they are doing it out of fear. They are doing it out of a hurt that they have experienced in the past. It has got nothing to do with the present moment. And when they are acting out of their emotions, losing their balance, why must we bother? When everything merges in love, when everything transforms in love, why must we bother? Why can't we simply be in love so when they come to us, they transform? When Raghavendra Swami was sitting and there was a ruler who sent a plate with meat, and he had covered that with a red cloth. So his messengers, they brought the plate. Raghavendra Swami took water from his kamandala and just sprayed it on the cloth, and when they took the cloth out, they were flower garlands. He was not a magician. But he simply allowed God to take over and do what was most appropriate. True sacrifice is to be in love. When you are in love, when you are sacrificing, you are just being the observer and nothing but the observer. Now, why should we be the observer? In this world where everything is transactional, we have forgotten to draw boundaries. Even at home, we are transactional. Transaction must be at your workplace. And even then, in all these transactions, what takes a back seat is your emotion. Never use your emotions. If you are going to use your emotions, you are going to be a victim of those very same emotions that you are going to use. When you get angry, the first person who burns out of anger is you. When you are projecting sadness, the first person who feels sad is you. Only when the other person is practicing sadness that the other person have a reflection of his own or her own sadness, and now you have two people with sadness. But when you are getting angry, when you are getting sad, or when you are feeling fear, you alone are becoming the victim of your emotions. It is very important to be the observer, because when you are being the observer, you allow God to take over. Let me give you an example. These are all real happenings which I have listened to from the direct experiencer. There was this lady who was staying in Whitefield. At that time, there were not many houses. So she was staying alone, old lady in her 60s, late 60s. Now she was staying alone, and a few people, few goons, were observing her every day, and they made sure that there was nobody else staying with her. And when they made sure there was nobody else staying with her, one day they decided to barge into the house and rob her of the necklace that she was wearing and the earrings that she was wearing. So it was 8 p.m. and they barged into the house, they broke the door and barged in. And within a few minutes, they started sweating, they got scared and they ran away. Now this lady had no idea what happened. I mean, they came in, they barged in, they showed their knives at her, and she was simply observing what was happening. And even before she could react, they just started sweating profusely and ran away. That night she had a dream. In that dream, God came and told her that when these people barged into the house, there was a photo of her deity in the background. God said, "I came out of the photo in full presence, and they could not fathom my physical form, and they ran away." Now, these are real incidents. I have heard many such real incidents and witnessed many such real incidents amongst our clients, our friends. We have seen instant healing happening. We have seen all of that which is beyond our comprehension. There are two things that we can do. One, we can observe, and the other is we can absorb. When we absorb, we want to give back. We believe, how can this person say such a thing? How can this person do such a thing? And then you want to take revenge. If all that has to be done, then why God? Why do you need a God if you want to take a revenge? Do you have a doubt of whether God is watching or whether God has forgotten you? It's very, very important to just observe all the time. Being the observer gives you many advantages. The most important thing is that stay unaffected. When you stay unaffected, you are pain-free. When you stay unaffected, you are pain-free. This is the most important thing. Whether it is physical, emotional, you are pain-free. The second thing is that you have no restlessness, you have no anxiety, no anger, no emotions at all. You are just placid. You are as quiet as a sheet of water which is undisturbed. You have to practice. You have to tell yourself every day, I have nothing to do with other people's behavior. I have nothing to do with their mannerisms, their attitude. Whether it is your parents, whether it is your siblings, whether it is your spouse, whether it is your children, grandparents, whoever it is, you have nothing to do with their attitude. There are two things here. One is the physical body, which is your relation, friend, enemy, brother, sister, father, mother, husband, wife, child, grandchild, grandfather, grandmother, mother-in-law, father-in-law. There is a physical body. This physical body is responsible for your learning on this planet. And then there is the attitude with which this physical body transacts in this world. You must practice having nothing to do with the attitude, but having everything to do with the physical body. Imagine there's a person walking on the street and you have no idea who this person is. And this person suddenly starts fighting with somebody. You will just look as if that person is nobody to you. In fact, that person is nobody to you. So there is no emotion. There is no connection of what is happening. But when you have an experience of one person hurting another person with a knife, when you have seen death, and when you have a soft corner towards men or women because of your own personal experience, then you will get annoyed, frustrated, you will interfere in that fight. It's happening because of your personal experience, your memory, but still you have nothing to do with that person. So what is it that you have to do? You have to start working with your memory so that you can be the observer. When you have a memory of pain, when you have a memory that causes you to be angry, causes you to feel anxious, fearful, causes you sorrow, then every experience that is occurring will reflect those emotions back to you, because this is nature's way of telling you what you need to work on. The tools are available. But when you want to argue, then these tools, even being in front of you, will be of no use. So today, right now, I'm asking you, how many of you are ready to work on your memories? Good. Start working on your memories, because this world has got so many ignorant people, so many people using their emotions left, right and center against themselves and directing towards all those innocent people who want to live a beautiful life. So you work on your memories, release all of it. Release all of these memories. There is a way. I want to share this practice with all those people who are interested. We will be creating another group of people who are interested in working with these memories. You have to remove all the negative impressions that you are carrying in your unconscious memory. We all are carrying negative impressions, countless number of negative impressions. Every time we get angry, every time we get upset, every time we get frustrated, irritated, agitated, every time you feel sad, every time you feel let down, you are creating an impression in your memory. And that impression silently triggers your conscious thinking and action. when I said this, just think how many impressions you would have created. There are countless number of impressions that we have created every single day, all those days from the day you started expressing your emotions. And now what we have to do is to start releasing those impressions. The smaller ones are the ones for which we have Mahopeksha, the practice of forgiveness. But for the larger ones, we have another practice, which is cutting off all the negative impressions. These take longer time, but with consistency and with your conviction, you can cut away all the negative impressions and discover the real you, who you really are. But unless all these emotions, impressions are triggering and firing your conscious thinking, you are living in a mirage. You have no idea what you are doing. You have no idea why is the world the way it is. You consciously think that people are directing their barbs at you. You're consciously thinking that you are being targeted for everything. But the reason is, the real reason is that the mirrors that you are holding on for others, which essentially are your impressions, cause others to treat you the way you're being treated. This is the reality. When you let go of these impressions, life will instantly change. I've been working on my impressions and I have seen how life has changed for me. I've seen how things have just transformed in an instant. It is true. But you have to practice. It'll happen. Before we continue, I want to ask you, are there any questions? Yes, Rashi.
So we have done this effort. We've done witnessing. So I just wanted to understand what is the difference in observing, being an observer and being a witness.
It's one and the same thing. What have you done, you said?
We did witnessing to be a witness before, right? So I just wanted to know if there is a difference.
You have been a witness only for a very, very short time when you are in a displaced environment. Mm-hmm. What I mean by a displaced environment means now you are in this session, completely cut off from your family. And so it is easy for you to be a witness. But when you go back to your family, is it easy for you to be a witness?
No.
You have to be a witness there. No. On the field, you have to be a witness. Now, there was a question asked in the group. I want to bring that up. There was a question asked in the group. Let me just... someone who has WhatsApp on at this moment, just look at that. There is one lady called Saju Panikulam. She has asked a question, but she herself is not here in the session, but she's asked a question. Can you please, anyone, read out that question? Does anyone have it?
Shall I read it, sir?
Yes, please.
She says, in life's unpredictable scenario, should we not respond according to the situation than just being an observer?
Exactly, right. So it's a very good question, but unfortunately she didn't participate in the meditation today. You know, when life situations occur, when you are being an observer, then you take the most appropriate action. Being an observer does not mean don't act. Being an observer means don't react. Don't bring your emotions in the way. If something needs to be done, just do it. Don't fret and fume, don't whine. Just do what needs to be done. That means to be an observer. We are not where you are not bringing yourself into the picture. If you really care about the welfare of somebody, get your ego out of the way. You know, if somebody is in the hospital and the doctor says, we need to put the person on ventilator, without an attachment, you have to see, do you want to put the person on ventilator because you want the person to be alive? Or do you want to put the person on ventilator because the person has got a chance of recovery? You have to be dispassionate. And if you see that the person has got a chance of recovery, by all means, put the person on the ventilator. But if the person has got a very bleak chance of recovery, then exercise dignity for the person. Let the person go. This is being an observer. You have to take the appropriate decision and action without your ego coming in the way. That is being the observer. Are there any other questions? All right. So there is this practice which was taught to me by Phyllis Crystal. And Phyllis Crystal taught this practice to me about, she taught to me in 2009. And that time she was 99 years old, and when she was 100, she came again and taught us again. So we were about 250 people from the whole world. There were just 250 people who learned this practice, and many of them are not practicing, but a few of us are. And this is a practice that she taught, wherein she taught how to work with our unconscious memory so we can transform our life. I just want to give you a small bit here from my own personal experience. My father and I had a very rough relationship. Rough relationship because my father was a very honest man. He was a geologist, an expert in gold and semi-precious gems and diamonds. He was excellent in his job, and it was his love, his first love. Now, he used to go to these places where he would get diamonds, rubies, all the semi-precious gems. He would give it to his boss. That's the ideal, that is his protocol. The boss had to put it in the exchequer, record it and put it in the exchequer. But his anger was surfacing because the boss would give all these jewels to that man's wife. And so my father was angry, but he can't show his anger against his boss, so he would bring the anger home. And I wanted to listen to my parents, and so my father did not find any other way. And because he had seen his father get angry on his children whenever he was upset, my father just enacted what he had seen. That was what was embedded in his unconscious memory. Now, 3 years before my father passed away, I worked on myself and released all the negative impressions of why me, why is my father so angry, and all these negative impressions that I carried. I released all of it and just walked down from the first floor meditation room. I just walked down where my father was standing. I stood beside him and looked at him. And the first question that popped in my head was, where had I missed this handsome man for the last 35 years? I was in love. That was how beautiful that experience was. From then, I had no more anger, no more resentment, no more emotions. Everything was so full. I had gained my father. And 15 days before he passed away, one day he called me and he said, "You are my strength." I gained my father. And even today, after 8 years of his passing, I still look at him. In my mind, I see a smiling face. This is what we all have to look up to. These practices are so powerful and they are so simple. Even a five-year-old can do it. They're so simple. In fact, we have somebody here whose children were doing this practice for a number of years, and I just want to ask this person whether this person would be willing to talk about it. Inoshi, you're there. I just want to ask you, do you want to, your children were doing the Maypole meditation when they were kids. Do you want to talk about it? Inoshi, are you there? All right. So there, we have few people here whose children have been doing the Maypole meditation every day when they were kids, and they've had amazing experiences. They've done it diligently. So this is a practice that can be done by... yes, Inoshi. Yes, thank you for coming. Yeah. Can you, you're muted, I think. Can you unmute, please? Yes.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I accidentally actually exited instead of unmuting myself.
Okay. Do you want to share the experience of your children doing the meditations every day when they were kids?
Yes. So it was actually very cute because when they would start doing it, they would actually imagine, the maypole and how the ribbon's coming. And because when you had sort of taught it to us the first time, you'd say, give it a little tug so that you know that God's listening to you. And always they would start by giving a little tug. So you would actually see them tugging it.
Right.
And then, they just go through it in which, the way you take those four steps, they would do the four steps. And it sort of, helped them because the older one was very shy, but he sort of, gained confidence in terms of developing friends and all. The only thing is, like you just mentioned, as they started reasoning, as they grew up,
right,
they stopped. So that's what happened, In fact, somewhere down the line, even I stopped. Mm-hmm. And when you started this entire thing almost a year back, that's when I joined. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, my older ones also join. So whenever the Maypole starts, on Saturdays, we do sit together and we do it. On some weekdays, we hear some of your sessions, which are there on the website, right? Mm-hmm. So we download any one of them, right, and then we do those also.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Inoshi. So we were doing these sessions in Haryana when we were there, when I used to visit there. And Inoshi and her husband Chetan were really gracious in offering their space for these practices for people. We have another person here, Ragasudha, who is our social media person, who is the go-to person for all the morning messages that she sends. Ragasudha's son, he's excellent in terms of Maypole. Recently, when they had an accident, this boy simply said, "Let's connect to the Maypole," and it was really touching to listen to how she said it. Ragasudha, are you there? All right. So she is another person who is really whose son. He's a young football player, soccer player, and he's a person who really does the Maypole. Even when they had a little accident recently where a dog chased their vehicle and they went and hit a car, and then this boy was shaking out of shock, and then the moment he came home, he cried and he said, "I want to do the Maypole." It is when you get onto the practice, the first thing that you do is to do the Maypole. Now the reason of doing this is, if you put God first, if you practice putting God first all the time, then God answers. Immediately you will receive that guidance. We have experienced it left, right, and center. We've experienced it so many times. We could spend days with you explaining, giving you all the experiences. But I'm telling you, put always God first. And that helps you be the observer. Which means that take action, don't be in a hurry. Always take action, don't be in a hurry. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't get carried away by how people say what they say. Always put God first. It really, really helps. Every single time. And when you get onto the habit of putting God first, then being an observer is so much easier. In fact, many years ago, I was going to a software company to give them a talk, and I had 40 sets of papers in my car. I was in the traffic signal, and suddenly, and it was a red signal. My vehicle was stationary, and suddenly the paper was strewn all over. I looked at the rearview mirror, and I found the bonnet of a Maruti Suzuki Swift was kind of uplifted. So somebody had banged into my car. So I quietly got down, I looked into my car, and I couldn't find anything wrong. And I looked at his car, and he had banged pretty badly because his bonnet was completely out of shape. And this guy's head was on the steering wheel. So I walked up to him and I asked him, "Are you okay?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Come on, let's just pull over." I told him, "The worst part is over. Let's go to the garage." And we both drove to the garage. And the guy, the mechanic, looked at my car and his car and asked him, "Did that car bang into your car?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "But nothing's wrong in your car." I said, "That's exactly why I have come to get checked." And he looked at my car and he said, "There are two rods that hold the bumper in place. They're slightly bent. So maybe we can replace that. It'll cost 2,000 rupees. I told him 2,000 rupees for the repair, and he paid. And his car, of course, there was a hefty amount that he had to pay, something like 30,000 or amount to get his car fixed. This is the reward for being an observer. This is what you get rewarded, that your car is absolutely in shape. It's difficult to believe, but unless you are there, you would know what it means. So with this, we'll end this session today. We'll be starting a group very soon, and we will send out the invite for the group for all those people. Now, we need people with commitment. We need people with commitment to practice, because the rewards are tremendous. There are plenty of rewards that come in the way of this practice, and they're worth it, because the whole objective of this life is contributing and to leave empty. You've come full, you have to leave empty. If you carry even a speck of what you've come with, you'll be sent back to empty it, so that you go back empty. So let us all practice emptying ourselves of all that we've been carrying for so many lifetimes. Empty our unconscious memory and go back empty as we first came. With this, I'll end this session here. Thank you so much for participating. Thank you so much for being a part of this, of the next session that we are going to have. And that's a really, really a booster dose for all of us. Thank you. Have a good evening. Have a good weekend and a beautiful week ahead. We'll see you next Saturday again. And please sign up for the work that we are going to start very soon.